And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Lloyd Pye. Lloyd, I'm going to have Tom email you this information, but a doctor, a genetic scientist at UCLA, says that they will do the nuclear DNA testing for you at no charge. Would you be interested in that?
Sure, absolutely. Now,
I'll put you together
with them. Keep in mind that it's already been done, and he might want to talk to the guys who did it because they're up in San Francisco.
Okay.
At Trace Genetics, and he might not understand that it's already been tried four different times by people who really knew what they were doing in a lab specifically dedicated to the recovery of ancient DNA, and they were unable to do it, and their report has been posted on the Starchild-UK website. So if that gentleman is listening, he might want to take a look at their report and just make sure that he understands what they've done and versus what he's offering to do. And I'm not at all denigrating the offer. I'm just saying there's no point in going over the same ground. But if he wants to do that, certainly we can supply him with a piece of bone.
It says
that
the procedure is called shotgun cloning plus sequencing. And it will work, he said, on any DNA sample.
Listen, this is great news to me. You're right. Please have him, send the information. But let's just make sure we're not talking about
okay.
a duplication.
Well, and I'll let you and he can decide that.
That would be great.
Okay,
absolutely
great. All right, what Tom will do is he'll get you his email address at UCLA, and then you can just send him whatever you want to send him, Lloyd.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Well, just, as long as everyone understands, these were not ham bones that did it in the first place.
No.
These were top guys who, as I said, worked on the Kennewick man and did the dating of that. So these are people that really do know the game.
Let's talk a little bit about alien hybridization.
Okay.
And some of this we're going to have to speculate on, of course. But first and foremost, let's take it from the perspective of if it's happening. If it's happening, how long do you think it's been happening on this planet? I've had guests on this program before, some of them, who claim that human beings have been around for hundreds of millions of years, if not a billion years.
Right.
What do you think of all that?
Well, that would be Michael Cremo, number one, and I just think the world of Michael. I think his work is just terrific. I like him as a person. But we do have a fundamental difference in that, because I go with the genetic reading of humans as we are today. And humans as we are today are only about in the range of 200,000 years old based on our mitochondrial DNA. So I'm not at all saying that human-like beings, and this one word is the difference between me and Michael and the others who say that, human-like beings could very easily have been on the Earth millions, if not billions, of years ago. I don't dispute the evidence that he is so meticulously compiled in his work. But as far as humans as we are today, as you and I and even him, our DNA says we're only about 200,000 years old as a species as we are. I do think that we are a product of hybridization, that we are
altered.
The result of genetic manipulation. I don't see how there's any real doubt of that to anybody who studies it. But I don't think that the humans as we are go back any further than that.
We've got 46 chromosomes in us?
Right, exactly. And all other primates have 48.
So how did they have two more than we?
Well, because what happened, I've written about this extensively in my book, Everything You Know Is Wrong, and if people want to read the nutshell of this, they can go to my website, www.lloydpye.com. I have a series of about 15 different small slideshows there, and they can see the context of what I'm talking about. The last two or three will have this in it, but basically it's this. On Earth, primates have 48 chromosomes. We are the only being that is supposed to be a primate that suddenly, inexplicably, for no reason, has 46 chromosomes. And what that means is when our parents come together to make another one of us, if it's a primate, you have 24 chromosomes in an egg and 24 chromosomes in a sperm. But with human beings, you have 23 chromosomes in an egg and 23 in a sperm. But here's the kicker. The same amount of chromosomal material, the same amount of DNA as a primate is still present in the union. But what's happened with humans and no other primate on Earth is that our second and third chromosomes have been fused into one. Let me repeat that. Our second and third chromosomes have been fused into one. If you were to separate the two, we would go back instantly to having 48 chromosomes. So somebody needed to take that 48 chromosome package and reduce it down so that they could interbreed with us, so that there could be a union, a hybridization with the primates of Earth, with somebody else who didn't have the same number of chromosomes, who had a number less. But you couldn't take out a whole chromosome because then you don't have a creature of Earth
right.
anymore.
You're missing something, whatever that, I guess, chromosome is supposed to do.
Well, the person who wants to make a hybrid with a primate of Earth at 48 chromosomes, they have to take, and if they have only 46, they have to take one out. But they can't take a whole chromosome out, George, because
you're gonna miss
too much
something.
DNA.
Yeah.
You just won't have the same thing. So all you can do is force two of the chromosomes into one space so that all the chromosomal material remains, but you still are able to get mitosis with a creature that, with a being that has 23 chromosomes. So that had to be done in order to create us as we are today, and I think that it was done, and I think it's very clear, and I've been saying this for years in my presentations and in my book. If you just simply look at the chromosomal package of the human being, and every geneticist knows this as well as everybody now that I'm telling this, they know that that doesn't happen in nature. That fusing of two chromosomes like that, it happens in a genetics lab. It just isn't going to happen in the course of nature.
So in terms of evolution, assuming there is evolution, fusing cannot occur.
Fusing like that isn't going to occur. Now, why would it occur? Why would two chromosomes in a being that's reproducing and reproducing and reproducing for millions of years, as we know primates go back for 60 to 70 million years, the beginnings of the first primates, the shrews and like
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
So you've got all that time, supposedly by evolution, and they all have their 48 chromosomes, and suddenly out of the blue, two of them are going to be fused together. And how's that going to happen in the first male and the first female of the new species? In other words, okay, let's just say miraculously it happened. There was a fusion of that chromosome in a male. He's got to find a female that's lined up the same way to breed with to create the new species that we became at around 200,000 years ago. That's lab work. That's not Mother Nature.
Okay, if the fusing then occurred in a lab, in an alien lab, maybe in a spaceship, maybe here on the planet somewhere and wherever they might have been doing this, what was their intent then at the time? Are you saying they took a primate, an ape, for example, and turned it human?
Well, I would guess this. This is my speculation, and I think this makes as much sense as anything I've heard. Some beings came here to Earth, and for whatever reason, they decided to create a new sentient being, and they wanted that being to be able to interbreed with themselves or somebody wanted it to interbreed with somebody from off the planet. But they wanted to have certain aspects of living on this planet in that new being. For example, they might have wanted to have it able to see better on the planet than they could, or have better skin than they had, or have some part of their biochemistry make the new being better able to live on this planet naturally than they could themselves. So what you do is, if you're from off the planet and you come down to the planet and you say, okay, we can't live here comfortably, but we can make a being that's an awful lot like us, but it's not entirely us, because we're going to take some of the one of the local beings of the planet and make something that can live here comfortably that'll be an awful lot like us, but not be entirely us. Mm-hmm. We'll have just enough of the local being to make it a functional, viable, you know, hybrid on the planet, and I think that's what we are.
Zechariah Sitchin believes that we were altered in order to become workers for
right.
these other beings. That was his
theory. I think that I'm a follower of his in that sense, and I do think that it's very likely there had to be a reason like that, because it's just not something that you would undertake for the fun of it, I don't believe. And in as much as the Sumerians took the trouble to write it down 4,000, 5,000 years ago on their clay tablets that something like this occurred, in the absence of any better reasoning that I can find, I'm willing to go with that as a workable hypothesis, that we were created to be the slaves and the servants of a superior race of beings who, in the process of deciding to make that slave and servant, they said to themselves, well, let's make it an awful lot like us, so that we can use it for a number of other things besides slave and servant, i.e. as sexual partners, as partners.
What about the biblical phrase, coming down to a breed with the daughters of man?
I believe that is the attempt of those who wrote Genesis, and they were, you know, like you or me, reading the old Sumerian texts, which said essentially the same thing, and just rewriting it to suit their period 2,000 years later. And so out of the Sumerian texts comes a lot of the wording of Genesis. Exactly.
But you do believe there was indeed some kind of genetic altering here?
I don't see how you can miss it, George. You've got those two chromosomes that are fused, the second and third. It's like they just looked down the line and said, okay, these two can do, and just boom, second and third are fused. We also have over 4,000 genetic disorders carried in the human chromosomal package. Now, in nature, that just doesn't happen. You can have a few. You can have things like albinism, which don't really affect you that much, but we have over 4,000 in our entire gene pool, and a couple of dozen of these, George, a couple of dozen, kill you dead before you make it to puberty. Now, there shouldn't be one of those in the gene pool, and you got a couple dozen, because if they kill you before you reach puberty, how did the first one get there in the first place, much less spread through the whole gene pool? The only way that could happen is if that particular fault was caused by cutting and splicing in the lab by people who didn't really care, or who did sloppy work, basically, who didn't really care. You're making a slave, you're making a servant. What do you care if you're leaving these things behind? If you're on some kind of a schedule and you want to get the slave and the servant created as soon as possible, then you don't care how many defects you leave in what you're doing. And apparently that's what happened with us. We were a rush job. And we were made, I think, fairly poorly when you come down to it. I think a lot of improvement could be made, and I think that a lot of improvement will be made over time as we figure out how to do what they obviously knew how to do.
I think we're still the first edition, aren't we?
We're still a work in progress in many, many ways, yes.
How many chromosomes, by the way, did Cro-Magnon have, Neanderthal? How many did they have their 46 also?
No, they... As far as I know, they only have mitochondrial DNA for Neanderthals, so we don't have the full chromosomal package yet. And one of the things that's going to dictate what they are, where the cutoff point is between Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon. I believe personally that, and this goes to my work with hominoid, you know, Bigfoot and the Abominable Snowman and all that collectively around the world. This would include the Hobbit of last year. There are four basic types of hominoids, one of which is a pygmy type, and it is found in the area of Indonesia where the Hobbit was found. So I will bet you anything that the Hobbit was just the fossilized remains of a pygmy type hominoid. But hominoids from around the world have 48 chromosomes because they are part of the natural primate package of Earth. And I don't think you start seeing the 46 chromosomes until Cro-Magnon.
Now, why can't nature, though, kind of maneuver its way around and create new alternatives like us?
Well, because we're just so vastly, vastly different, George, and it's happened literally overnight. I mean, you go from Neanderthals to Cro-Magnons, and they overlap, but Cro-Magnons just appear. They appear in the fossil record at around 120,000 years ago, and our genes say that we appear about 200,000 years ago. So that's really recent, and yet when you look at us, we're supposed to be primates. On my website, www.lloydpye.com, if you go to one of the 15 slideshows, and it'll say, one of the slides shows 12 ways in which human beings are not primates. We're not primates. If it wasn't for the fact that science has to do everything it can to make it look like we evolved from primates, then we would have had our own category from the very beginning. We don't have primate bones. We don't have primate muscles. We don't have primate skulls. We don't have primate brains. We don't have primate skin. We don't have primate hair patterns. We don't have primate sexual cycles. We're not primates. We're just not. We're something else. But, again, science can't acknowledge that because they are wedded to the idea that we evolved from primates. And so all of that evidence that indicates otherwise is just swept under the rug and not talked about.
Let's talk then about alien hybrids in general, much like the Star Child possibly could be. These are aliens that come down and manipulate breed. Let's talk about it in the abduction phenomenon, if we can, for a moment. What's going on, if it's real, what's going on in that arena?
Well, as you said in your very opening question of this, you know, how long has it been going on was one of the things that you mentioned. I think probably from the very beginning. I think it's an ongoing process that we're a work in progress and something is going on elsewhere. My best guess, and let me make clear, it's just a guess, but based on everything that I've seen and I understand, I would suspect probably that there's another planet out there somewhere that is being managed and populated the way our planet was, and that there's still material out of us that is needed for a new type of hybrid. Because when you hear the stories of all the women who feel that they have been, fertilized, made pregnant, they're sure they're pregnant. They go, they get their sound checked. They're pregnant, no doubt about it. And sometime in the fourth month, they wake up and they have all the signs of a miscarriage, except there's no fetus there.
That's right. It's gone.
So when you hear enough of those stories, and then you hear those same women say, and then a few years later, I was taken back on board, and I was allowed to see my offspring, male or female, play with it, bond with it, and I believe it was mine, whether it was or not, I believe it was, you know, that kind of thing. And it happens that many times, you have to believe this is something that was ongoing and has been ongoing for a very long time. And I think that those star being legends are just, you know, the same story being told that our people are telling now as the, you know, the harvesting program. That's the term that I always hear about is harvesting. And these women are being harvested and their eggs are being harvested and and men go on board and apparently their sperm is being harvested, and you hear stories like Peter Corey in Australia who claims that he had actual sex with an alien female, and you hear Antonio Villas-Boas claim that same thing, that he had sex with an alien female, and they, you know, the indication is it may not just be harvesting that goes on, but there's some kind of overall program that somebody seems to be overseeing where the same sorts of things happen on a consistent basis, and that sounds to me like a managed program of some kind.
And let's find out why. We'll get your take on that when we come back. Lloyd Pye, our guest on Coast to Coast AM.
Get daily automatic MP3 downloads of tonight's show and every night show with the new Coast to Coast AM podcast. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
Well, I'll be taking one of my very rare vacations next week, two times during the year that we do not have any ratings in our business, and those are the prime times for us to depart. So I shall. I'll fill you in more about that at the end of the week. Still have some tremendous programs for you this week, including on Thursday, our very special roundtable discussion on God, man, and E.T. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our special guest tonight, Lloyd Pye. Lloyd, of course, will talk about why they did what they did and what their whole reason is. But David Jacobs writes that there's a more sinister motive behind all of this. Is that a possibility?
Well, anything is possible, but it certainly doesn't sound all that friendly with the way they go about it. But, you know, what do they need to tell us for? If we are the guinea pigs, and that's what it looks like we are, they're doing whatever they want to do with us, and there's really not anything we can do about it. And I think that's one of the reasons that the government sits on this kind of information. They don't want to alarm people. They don't want to upset people by giving the certainty to the idea that, you know, we are lab rats, guinea pigs, whatever you want to call us, for whoever's out there doing this. It's a very upsetting thing to think about, and the people who have the experience don't seem to come out of it without any problems. So I think David's view of it might be a little dark because other people say that, well, it wasn't that bad. But I think overall, in general, most folks would rather it not happen to them.
Well, there's no question if you can tie that in back to the Star Child again, there could be something very, very special about what all this is.
Well, I think the Star Child has a very good chance of proving out, George, to be one of those hybrid beings that were being produced at that time and up until just recently. I think that program went on. If this is the way they do it, if what the purpose is to come to Earth and create hybrids with humans and some other species, whether it be gray or not, and I have to say that based on the shape and general configuration of the Star Child skull, it looks like grays. It looks like the ones that are called the tall grays, I would imagine. And if it is indeed that, then it's something that has been going on for quite some time, probably all the way back, and that's what the star being legends would be hundreds of years ago. And if that's the case, it probably ended when the world got so small that we could communicate with each other, and you couldn't put a being like that in a small, isolated village and not have the world know about it. So I think probably the changeover point was when humans got enough in contact to where a being like that would be noticed and would be talked about. And that's when probably they went to the harvesting program rather than putting them down on the ground and let them be nurtured by mothers so that they would have that aspect of humanity about themselves. And furthermore, I think that probably that nurturing is still needed. You know, human beings, it's very clear in psychological testing that if you are not nurtured well in your first 5 or 6 years, you're never going to be right. And if you're nurtured well in your first 5 or 6 years, you can undergo enormous deprivations and still be basically okay. I think the Holocaust proved that. So if it's required that we be nurtured, that these hybrids be nurtured up to a certain point, and they can no longer do it by just coming into a village, creating one of the hybrids, letting it stay there till the age of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, and then coming back and getting it, then that nurturing has to still be done. And, you know, there's a lot of people, human beings, that just disappear every year. I mean, just vanish and nothing. Now, a lot of those people are probably killed. But I think it's possible that some of those faces you see on the milk cartons have been conscripted to be nannies somewhere for these hybrids.
Would that be scary, though, if they were just disappearing?
That would be, but I do think that that's a possibility.
Well, there are millions of people on this planet who disappear every year. Millions. You know, it doesn't seem like a lot when you see them in isolated cases. But if you added them all up, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's either an awful lot of murdering going on, or some of them are just vanishing and being taken somewhere. And I know that that's a scary thing for, you know, everybody to contemplate. It is for me to contemplate. But on the other hand, if indeed, and I think it's true that if you've got a hybrid that has a lot of human in it, that being is going to need emotional nurturing. And if you talk to the women, and I've had several of them talk to me about their experience of being harvested and then seeing their child, and you see the emotion that they can generate when they tell you about it, it's hard to deny at least their belief in the reality of it. And they say that those children are just seem to be starved for affection, and it just breaks their heart at how emotionally bereft they seem. So somebody needs to be doing that, and I would think that somebody is. I think somebody. I know why they bring the mothers in to let them bond or do that. I don't really understand, because it seems to need a full-time job. Maybe this is the best they can do. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're not bringing people up, taking them somewhere to be the nursemaids and the nurturers of these beings. I don't know.
There are two theories.
It's a distinct possibility.
Couple theories that the hybrids stay here, like the Star Child, for example, or that they go. They're put in a craft and they're gone. They're nurtured. They're made. They're, you know, they're literally incubated in a spaceship, and then they go off to their other planet.
Right. That's what I think is going on now. I think in the past, before we could communicate well, I think that they were left on the ground in isolated villages, just like the Star Being legends say, and that when they were of an age, they were taken away. I think somehow the Star Child didn't get taken away. It died before it should have, and the whoever was in charge, and that the woman who died with it might have been, maybe she sacrificed herself to keep her village from being wiped out or something like that, because the whole village apparently was tasked with seeing to it that this child was raised up, and the child was going to need special care and attention. And if you look at the Star Child's bones that we have, and you extrapolate a body like that, lighter, thinner, more durable, mind you, but still lighter and thinner, with a very thin little neck, very, very small little lower face. It's you know, very unusual looking kid for sure, or being, whatever it was. You know, you make that assumption that they were there. You have to assume that the people who were doing it then were leaving them on the ground, and then they had to give that program up. And now I think they just keep them in, like you say, in the spaceships, or take them somewhere, and then give them whatever nurturing they can, and then take them wherever they're supposed to go. I think it's an ongoing program that's been going on for a long time.
So many people think that they're probably being taken to that civilization's planet for whatever reason. I have another theory. What if these entities now that are created, these hybrids, are being taken to start new planets?
That's right. I think that that's very likely. That's what I was saying. Maybe I didn't say it clearly enough a while ago. They seem to be making, you know, different kinds. So if that's the case, then they are indeed. There's something that we have that seems to be useful in other places, in the same way that something from another place was useful here,
right,
to create us. So I think that it's just an ongoing thing. And one of the real interesting aspects of the human genome is going to be finding out how much of our genome really is from here, and how much of it is from elsewhere. And maybe some of the listeners saw the very recent report that came out from some people who are working on junk DNA, and they said that it looks like junk DNA is just, at least certain parts of it, are just simply not from here. And I think that there's going to be more and more of that as we delve deeper and deeper. People should understand that the Human Genome Project, everybody feels like, oh, it's just all over. It isn't all over at all. There's so much more that we don't know still about the human genome, the human genetic package. And as this unfolds step by step, more and more it's going to become clear that we did not evolve on Earth, that we are from, you know, we are an extraterrestrial being living here, And I think it's clear to a lot of researchers now, it's certainly clear to me and others, and it will have to be faced and confronted and made public, in my opinion, in the not-too-distant future.
Well, especially if these disappearances are occurring all over the place. Eventually, they're going to have to say something. Webmaster Lex Lonehood has pulled out a popular theory as well, Lloyd, that the hybrids are being kept here to repopulate the planet after some kind of Earth catastrophe or other kind of catastrophe.
It could well be. I have people who tell me they're convinced that there is a whole underground world and that they live down there. That's certainly a belief of a number of people in our field, and it's certainly not impossible. I don't personally subscribe to it, but I think that, you know, we have to consider everything. As long as we don't know, we don't really know, good science or good research would to me, demand that you leave yourself open to any possibility. Even if you personally don't really buy into it, it's always possible. Until proven not. And so the underground theory is not at all, you know, not at all to be ruled out.
Without binding you to any hard evidence, in your opinion, what do you think the Star Child is and why?
I think the Star Child represents a hybrid being between a human mother and a father of some type of off-world entity. And I think that we are going to find a way to prove that. I think the evidence that we have already is fairly overwhelming in that direction, but we can't absolutely nail it down yet. We're working hard to find the ways and the means to do it, and, of course, the money to pay for it. Always the big problem in our field is lack of money because we are shut out from the traditional funding sources of mainstream science, and that's one of the ways that they keep us down and keep us out on the fringe, even when we have this kind of evidence. I mean, let's face it, the Star Child, as far as I know, is the most compelling, the most realistic, the best chance ever to prove alien reality. You would think they would be all over this.
Absolutely. Even if it was some kind of human that had some kind of horrible deformity, in 900-year-old skull, that's priceless.
Absolutely. It would be the number one human deformity ever because it's one of a kind. But not only that, it breaks every rule of deformity as we now understand it. Again, asymmetry being the number one hallmark of deformity. The Star Child is stunningly, stunningly symmetrical. It's more symmetrical than the human skull. You hold them up and you twirl them around and you look, and it's just so neatly put together. Unlike a human skull, but it's amazingly symmetrical. So its genes told it to grow that way, George. And if its genes told it to grow that way, to have bone that's half as thick as human bone, that is half the weight of human bone, that is significantly harder than human, and all of the major parts of it redesigned. I mean, there's not a one. You can't name a thing about it that is normal. With all of that, if its genes told it to do that, and they did, it isn't human. It's part human, but it isn't entirely human.
Calling these aliens farmers, let's say, of us, I've heard the Greys and the Nordics are the ones that have been doing this. I've never heard the phrase that the reptilians were harvesting us.
I never have either. The stories that I hear from the people that talk to me say that it's the Greys that handle them, but they tend, every now and then, one of them will see a Nordic or a Pleiadian or a Lyran or an Anunnaki or whatever you want to call them, the ones that look like humans. Large humans, blonde humans, glowing humans. You get different descriptions, but basically human-like, humanoid. And those tend to be the bosses and seem to be the ones that are running the show. There are people who claim that reptilians are behind the whole thing, but personally, I don't really see that from a genetic standpoint, because if they're reptilian beings, we don't really show, that I can tell anyway, any reptilian traits that would indicate to me that there's some reptilian mixed in with us. I don't know. Again,
unless you talk to David Icke,
you know, you don't know what's going to come up in the junk DNA.
No, you really don't. Again, too, you wonder if they knew, let's say, an asteroid was coming this way, if they were able to see this billions of miles out and project it was going to hit the planet one day. I wonder if they would alter it, try to blow it up, or let it hit, and then maybe that's another reason why they're harvesting us, so they bring us back again, as Lex was pointing out.
I don't know. I don't see that, George, frankly, because if they know that we're going to be blown to smithereens, I don't consider us a particularly good product. We've got real problems. I think that they would just, if they wanted to get rid of us, they could just, I think, put some kind of vial of some kind of microbe that they could create that would kill only us and nothing else and just get rid of us if that was their purpose. I don't see that happening. I don't see any signs of that happening. I don't go to bed worrying about that. I also don't go to bed worrying about the asteroid or any of that.
Right, nor
there's
do I.
Something, there's some service we seem to provide or something, because they could take us out. I believe, you know, like your dad used to tell you, I brought you in and I can take you out, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's kind of that way. They could take us out anytime they wanted to, and as much as they didn't do it when we were so close to annihilating each other during the Cold War, if they were going to intervene or do anything like that, I think it would have been done around then.
What is it that makes us so unique?
That's a really good question, because I don't think that we're particularly special in any way, and I think that we're faulty in many more ways than we would be special. So it just has to be something, I think, in our genetic package that is useful, in the same way that something in the package of the primates here was useful when a hybrid was being created to create us. So it's just something that seems to have gone from those who made us to from perhaps those who made them, from perhaps those who made them. There's something in that package that has to go forward and seems to have to go into every hybrid that's out there. That's my guess. There's something in our genetic package that is maybe, you know, immortal or permanent or has to be there in order for the process to go forward.
Maybe they want our souls somehow, Lloyd.
If there is such a thing as a soul, I believe that if we have one, they have one, everybody's got one. I don't see us being special in that regard. In other words, if that's a part of the life package that comes, then I think that it's going to be available to everybody out there. In that way, I would agree with Michael Cremo in that, mm-hmm. you know, consciousness is behind it all. It's just, you know, it's another word for soul or spirit or whatever. And if that's the uniform dominant theme of existence, which a lot of people believe, including Michael, I think then everybody gets their fair share of it, and I don't think you need to go taking that or robbing that from anybody else.
You know, one of my favorite movies, Contact, and when the alien was talking to Jodie Foster on the beach, he said, you basically, Earthlings, are capable of such beautiful dreams and horrible nightmares. And we really are, and mm-hmm. but there is something that makes us, I think, as a species, so different, so unique. I think we may be the envy of the universe, Lloyd. I don't know why, but I think we might be.
Well, on the other hand, we could be the clowns of the universe. You know, we could. I don't really know. I don't believe that. Just, you know, my personal opinion is there's nothing particularly good or special about us. We don't manage our affairs very well. We don't manage our home. We just don't. I don't think we're doing a good job of stewardship on this planet. I don't think we treat each other very well. I don't think we're admirable. I really don't. I don't think we're the envy of the universe. It's possible, like everything else, it could be, but, you know, we're speaking frankly as friends, and I tell you that I don't particularly agree with that standpoint. I think it's more likely that we would be, you know, an amusement, like you'd go to a zoo and watch, you know, watch the monkeys or something. You know, that we are, I think, no better than that level in their eyes. I just have a feeling that they're all considerably more enlightened than we are.
Stay with us. Questions next.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.